But Gerrard! Here's Rooney! Oh my goodness me! That is one of the strikes of the season! Absolutely brilliant! Fantastic!
So I think it's only fitting we start this episode off by talking about the disaster of game week 28, and that is Wolverhampton's defeat against Huddersfield Town. I am absolutely irate at Jimenez.
Was it a disaster, or was it beauty by Huddersfield since they have Wolves' number? Two of their three victories on the year are shutout ones over Wolves.
Yeah, to add insult to injury, not getting the clean sheet for Doherty. And Huddersfield Town produced, you know, one of the goal of the season contenders there at the end. I'm just so frustrated with FPL right now. I mean, between Wolverhampton and I actually thought having Ashley Barnes and Jimenez as my front line would be a smart move.
So what you're saying is that you didn't have Trent Alexander-Arnold lining up this weekend? Well, midweek?
No, I had Robo. So, I mean, I did get some points there, but just at a loss for words after this midweek round. I mean, JWP came through, but I also benched my two Everton players, you know, expecting that Jimenez and Ashley Barnes would do something between the two of them.
Yeah, your indecisiveness when it comes to these game weeks is really coming to bite you.
It's only the midweek ones. I'm like, I'll have to go back and do the math, but I'm pretty sure that I have a red arrow in every single midweek round this season. So the three or four that there's been, and those are pretty much where my only red arrows have come from.
Hey, if it makes you feel any better, at least you still had a better midweek than Kieran Trippier.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tip my cap to him, though. I mean, he put that was well-placed. It was a well-placed pass.
Just
the back of his own net.
The look on Hugo's face when he's just like, what in the fuck are you doing right now? Is priceless.
Yeah, the weird part about game week 28 is Jimenez and Barnes, neither of them scoring, is still not as surprising as Tottenham failing to register a shot on target in their defeat to Chelsea.
Yep. A Kepa Arrizabalaga-less Chelsea.
Yeah, with Willy Caballero in net after. What? I can't get over that Kepa thing at the weekend.
Oh, yeah. It's over, but
hysterical.
He's not starting this game.
Yeah. You might as well start there then. Fulham, Chelsea. Obviously, Chelsea's coming off a clean sheet. Would you entertain giving Gonzalo Higuain the captain armband in OFPL this week? I don't know if you
own him. No, because he's been weird because it looks like he should have more goals, but he's just like, it's a mixture of bad luck and a mixture of just not getting it done on the finishing end. Because his two goals for Chelsea were absolute beauties, and he also smashed the post against Spurs. But you would think that he'd have more than two goals so far.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess going into this match, who do you want to own from Chelsea? I mean, Azpilicueta's coming off the assist and the clean sheet. Pedro had the goal at the weekend.
I mean, if it's anyone, it's probably Pedro and Hazard. I'm still not going with the Chelsea defender because even though Southampton shut out Fulham, I don't think Chelsea will.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of Chelsea at this point. I'd kind of just stayed away from them completely in OFPL. I mean, obviously, if you have their premium assets in draft, you're going to be rolling them out. As for Fulham, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, like Babel continues to...
Is Babel their only player who's startable every week?
Well, the thing with Babel is that he's, in his appearances, he's had 7 points, 21, minus 2.5, 3.5, 15.5, and 5 in Fantrax with Tauga scoring. So it's obviously up and down. And those two matches that he performed well in, he had a goal and an assist. So he is return heavy. The guy who is, I guess, maybe a little bit more, probably the most appealing to me outside of Mitrovic, is a guy who hasn't really been getting a lot of playing time, and that's Ryan Sessegnon. I don't understand why he doesn't play more. Also, because they seem to play well when he plays.
I mean, with Sess, it's been weird because he has performed better since Ranieri's come in, but with having so many options for a choice at Wingers FC, he's been sat for Sherla, he's been sat for playing Babel on his side, he's been sat for Vieto playing out wide. And I just don't get it, because when Sess plays, he generally registers an assist.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, probably the most dependable asset on Fulham is Callum Chambers, which is
if
weird.
If you're playing in leagues where you're not penalized for goals against defenders playing out of position.
Yeah, but I mean, he's been getting involved offensively lately, so you kind of get that added boost. I'll have to check right now.
I wanted to check, but it looks like Fantrax is broken.
I was going to say about the Premier League predictor.
Oh, yeah, I haven't actually looked at that.
Yeah, let's see. Actually, I don't know if they've...
It's up.
Let's see. So Chelsea Fulham is one of those matches. So as is our new tradition, Chuck, what are you going with in that game?
I'd probably go with 3-1 Chelsea.
Yeah, I'm thinking 2-1. I don't see a clean sheet here, but I do think Chelsea will get the W. The early match on Sunday is Watford hosting Leicester. And as I mentioned last episode, Watford got that thumping that was long overdue.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to tip your hat to you because you were spot on about both of these teams that we were talking about last week. As Brendan Rodgers' new boys will be going into action as well.
Yeah, there's a lot to unbunk there. But first on Watford, are you going to throw that game out against Liverpool because the Reds played well?
I mean, you can't throw that game out because Watford's performed against top six teams. Like, it's not like there's a team that's not supposed to be up to snuff to Liverpool. Like, they just flat out fell on their faces and had no idea what to do.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if we have any Watford supporters who listen to the podcast, but that's the Watford I know.
Well, the interesting thing is Fabinho absolutely keeping Gerard Deulofeu in his pocket.
Well, yeah, I mean...
That's the Gerard Deulofeu we know.
Yeah. I mean, when I rewatched some of that Cardiff stuff, he was running rampant all over the place, and speed is not something that is not something that Liverpool struggles with. So I wasn't as surprised that he kind of came back down to earth after, you know, having his way with Cardiff City.
Yeah, I want to say had like 0.5 against Liverpool in Fantrax leagues. I check, but I can't currently get on the website.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way. Yeah, he actually did have 0.5. I mean, there's no way after him putting up 43 points against Cardiff, he was going to come around and have, you know, even a third of have anywhere near the kind of performance he had. It's interesting to note with him because outside of his big day against Cardiff, looking at his match logs,
They're real bad.
He hadn't had double-digit points in like 9 games. He actually negative points like three times.
Yeah, if I did my math right, he had as many points against Cardiff as he did in his last 8 game weeks prior to that combined.
Yeah, so I mean, Watford are returning home. They're going to host Leicester. This match, it's weird because both teams did what I thought they would do last week. So now I'm afraid to give my take here because the way the universe works, if I go out on a limb here, I will be thoroughly embarrassed.
So why aren't you going out on a limb then?
Yeah, so I feel like this is going to be a 1-1 draw.
I think it's going to be a 2-1 Leicester win.
Really? I mean, the thing with Leicester is Brendan Rodgers is their manager now, and that doesn't really excite me.
Why?
Because it's Brendan Rodgers.
Who's not a bad manager?
Not saying he's a bad manager, but I'm just not a fan.
Okay, so Sean's biases aside, I actually like this move for Leicester. And while I don't think it's realistically going to move the needle that much on where they finish this season, it'll probably make a bigger difference in, one, who they're able to recruit over the summer, and two, them ensuring that they're more of a top 7 team versus a top 10 team next season.
Whenever, I don't know why, but I just associate Brendan Rodgers with when Liverpool signed Ricky Lambert. So whenever I think of Brendan Rodgers, I just think of Ricky Lambert, who, don't get me wrong, I did like Ricky Lambert in FIFA. He was one of those strikers you could buy for a mad cheap, and he was big and he had some good traits. But Brendan Rodgers does not move the needle for me, and I wouldn't be surprised if Leicester don't get the new manager bump under him.
They got the new manager bump under Craig Shakespeare. I think they're going to get it.
Great name, Craig Shakespeare. That's a great name.
No, not a great manager.
Jokes aside, though, I just think that like Watford just evened out. So they had a really good performance. They had a really shitty one. So now they're probably due for a draw. I guess the more interesting thing here, and I want to get your take on, where do you stand on Yuri Tielemans? Specifically in draft, because in OFPL he's at 6 million right now. So that's still
seriously, he's too that much high?
Yeah, he's at 6.
Why? I mean, I like him a lot. It's interesting because his pass to Damari Gray, while it was good, also wasn't really as hard of a pass as being made out to be. But it shows the types of things that he'll be able to do to gain points in a counterattacking Leicester setup.
Yeah, so the one thing I always liked about Tielemans is he's not super creative, but he's very precise with his passing. So
he doesn't dawdle on the ball.
Yeah, I mean he's pretty direct, but the thing that stood out for me about that assist, granted, I think I probably could have played that ball to Damari Gray. It's just when he picked it up in midfield, he turns and goes, and I just think that he has the ability to make the passes you're supposed to make, which is sometimes overlooked when you're looking at a fantasy asset.
I'd agree with that.
So, I mean, I'm not expecting him to be an 11, 12-point guy week in and week out, but like he was in his first two starts, 6.5, I think that's a little bit low. I think he's probably, you're looking at a floor of around like 7, 8 points, because he's either going to get a key pass or two or a shot or two a game, depending upon how Leicester lines up and how the match goes. And the other thing I'd like to is he's a two-way player. He's kind of the, I think I said on Twitter the other day, he's kind of like the perfect bridge between Madison and Ndidi.
Well,
in that midfield.
It's funny because he is similar with fewer shots taken to what we want Ross Barkley to be.
Oh, Ross Barkley. Oh, man. What do you think that guy's going to be next season? Think he'll still be at Chelsea?
I mean, Danny Drinkwater's still at Chelsea.
I always forget about him.
Yeah, I'd say safe money's on him still being there, because who takes him and his wages?
Yeah, I mean, talk about a fall from being like the most hyped player to he's sitting next to Danny Drinkwater on a day-to-day basis.
Just thank God that he went to Chelsea and not Spurs.
Well, I mean, I don't know if the same thing happens if he goes to Spurs.
I think a lot of what's going on is beyond Chelsea's control.
Look, I mean, at least if he went to Spurs, he probably would have had an easier path to proving himself once he was fit.
But I mean, he's gotten ample playing time. So, at this point, it's beyond the playing time, and it lands with him squarely. And if he's playing the way that he's playing right now at Spurs, Pochettino puts him in the doghouse with Vincent Janssen, and you never see him again.
Yeah, he gets the Janssen treatment. Let's try and get back on track before we do a 50-minute breakdown of Ross Barkley. I guess we'll finish up with the other match on Sunday, and that is the Merseyside derby. The big news from Liverpool's match, outside of Sadio Mane's back heel, was Trent Alexander-Arnold was back, and he had 3 assists. So, are you racing to get him in OFPL?
Eventually. But I've already made my transfer for this week, and it was not on bringing him in. It was on bringing Fabian Schär into my team.
He did score a heck of a nice goal.
And I am really fancying that Newcastle defense.
Sticking with this match, though, I want to get your opinion on something. I know our friend FPL Stag over at RotoWorld, he talks about in his column this week, Salah and Mane. Do you own Salah at the moment?
I do.
Okay. Are you at all tempted to pivot off of him and go to Mane?
Not particularly, because I feel like that's a wasted transfer right now.
How so?
Because looking at team configuration, if you don't have your free hit and don't want to use your wild card, you're figuring out, how can I get the most players for game week 31 that I possibly can? So transferring out someone who has a game on game week 31 for someone who also has a game is just such a lateral move that it's not particularly worth it in the long run.
Yeah, so I've always been, at least this season, I mean, last season it kind of spoke for itself, but I've not been deterred at all about Mohamed Salah this year. And even though he has been in, it seems like he's been in a rather significant slump. He hasn't scored in two matches.
Yeah, his slumps get overblown.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's still currently the top point scorer with 195. Second best is Raheem Sterling on 174. And then the other thing, too, I mean, he still has 17 goals. I'm not worried about pivoting off of him. And if I did for some reason, it would most likely be to downgrade in midfield and then go to a two premium striker set. But, I mean, I'd probably have to do a bunch of retooling for that. But I'm keeping faith in Mo.
What?
The interesting thing is, like, looking at his games this season, he hasn't gone longer than two matches without scoring. So I wouldn't be surprised if the derby is when he gets back on track.
No, I'd agree. It's literally only a matter of time until Mo Salah gets a hat trick and we all stop talking about this.
Yeah. The other guy, I guess, who's kind of captured my attention, and this is for draft leagues, with Firmino not fit right now. I don't know what his status is.
Yeah, I was going to say, the question number one is, how long is Firmino potentially out for? Because if Firmino's healthy, Origi's useless.
So Origi's 15% owned in draft leagues. I from what I just looked at, it seems like Firmino is rated, is a 50% chance of playing at the weekend. Let's say we find out tomorrow that he's not going to play. Would you trust Origi for a start against Everton? What? He's coming off a goal. He had 16.5 points against Watford.
No. Just because, well, I mean, so this is a tough answer because you start any top six striker against a non-top six team. So someone's going to start Origi, but I don't think that he particularly does that much against Everton because he won't realistically be able to get past their center backs, because their center backs are better than Watford's center backs. It's just Everton's positioning is very fucked.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be expecting a goal. I wouldn't be expecting a ton, but
without a goal, what are Origi's points in his starts? Because I'd like to say not very good.
Well, let me see. From what I'm looking at, so he had four shots against Watford. He had two on target. So, I mean, I guess the thing I'm kind of getting at is he's 15% owned. If you look at the other forwards around there, if you were looking to stream, let's see, Solanke is at 15%. I mean, would you prefer Origi or Solanke this week with Bournemouth playing Man City?
Well, number one is, one, would Solanke actually start? Because Lys Mousset took a very well-taken goal when let in on. Two, City does have Fernandinho back this week. Right?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, I guess what I'm kind of getting at is when you're kind of down there for streaming, I think you can do.
But if you're streaming, your best streaming forward is probably Carlin Grant this week.
Yeah. So I guess we'll transition into Brighton Huddersfield Town. The Terriers are coming off clean sheet, which is
rare.
Something I didn't think I'd be saying for the rest of the season. And they travel to Brighton. So, I don't know what to think here, because I expected them to give up at least three goals last week. So I'm going to defer to you, Chuck.
Well, I mean, I picked Brighton to win last week and Huddersfield to get steamrolled. So am I really that much better to talk about this game?
Oh, wait, before we do that, we need a prediction for Liverpool-Everton.
3-2 Liverpool.
I like the sound of that. I'm going to go 3-1 because that Salah hat trick. I don't know. And with Everton, I mean, it's always interesting with these derby matches. I do think they'll get a goal, but it's going to be tough for them to get a result. But back to Brighton, Huddersfield Town. That match is not, unsurprisingly, on the Premier League pick-ems. Is there anybody who catches your attention from, I guess, from a draft perspective here?
So you mean outside of the name that I just said?
Yeah.
Well, I streamed Davey Proper and was very happy last week. I would probably do that again. And outside of that, probably Terence Conan'Golo.
Yeah, I was going to say he had a pretty good performance, obviously boosted by the clean sheet, but he racks up the peripheral metrics. So, yeah, him. I mean, that's about it, though. I mean, I mean,
from the looks of that, Huddersfield should always play in a back three.
Yeah, I mean, even under Wagner, they had their better results when they played in a back three. I mean, it was nice to see Eric Durm. He's kind of not gotten a ton of time after making the transfer and stuff. He played decently well. But, yeah, I mean, Huddersfield Town are just – they're just Huddersfield Town.
Hey, that's who really knows? Awesome. What if they pull a Leicester and save themselves and then win the league the next
Like, just, like, looking at – yeah, looking at –
I mean, you know how bad it is just because of the fact that I couldn't even attempt to joke about it.
Looking at the player stats and seeing 19 points for the one and only Steve Mounier is just insane.
Yes, Steve Mounier scoring a goal from his ass really boosted everything.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's talk about a match we mentioned briefly when I was talking about streaming forwards. Bournemouth hosting Manchester City. It looks like there will still be no Callum Wilson or David Brooks for Eddie Howe's side. Man City are coming off what was a tricky W against West Ham.
Well, I mean, City looked extremely tired against West Ham, and West Ham also set up pretty well. They're still not going to have much rest between this game. So hopefully Gabriel Jesus can feature, because if it wasn't for the penalty, they tie this.
Yeah, and Andy Carroll also had a really good chance. It was a nice save by Ederson. But, yeah, I mean, I would not be shocked to see the Cherries give him a good run here. But it's very tough to see them getting a result without Brooks and Wilson. And I mean, Cook's
shouldn't,
also out
shouldn't
too.
One of them be in one of them at least should be in contention to make the bench this week, because you keep seeing early March. Well, this game week's early March.
Yeah, I mean, Brooks was on the bench in the defeat to Arsenal, so I guess that's a sign that he's closer.
Like, I don't think he starts the game, but he should feature in it.
I mean, I guess if you're in Eddie Howe's position, though, like, if he's not 90% ready, I don't see why you would even use him at all, unless it's
because you bring him off the bench to regain fitness in a cameo.
Yeah, but still, I mean, if the result's not out of hand by then, if they're still in the match, otherwise I wouldn't risk him. mean, if you're looking at their upcoming fixtures, they have Huddersfield, Newcastle, Leicester, Burnley. So, I mean, those are matches you're definitely going to want Brooks fully fit for.
I mean, they're also in the fun position where they literally don't have to win again for the rest of the season.
Yeah, just the way the table shakes out.
I hate mid-table teams at the end of the season.
Yeah, so yeah, the funny part about looking at the table right now is with like the way it stacks up, Southampton's finally out of the bottom three.
Is Cardiff back in?
Yeah, Cardiff's back in.
Oh, shit. So we got a Cardiff win coming this weekend?
Yeah, that's the next game I wanted to talk about. We have Wolves, the biggest letdown of Game Week 28, hosting Cardiff. And as you've been mentioning, Chuck, Cardiff only win when they're in the drop zone.
So, and Wolves are currently riding a three-game winless streak.
Yeah, I'm pretty heated about Wolves, but are you going to say this is a Cardiff victory here, away at Wolves?
The stars are aligned. But, I mean, I think I lost all credibility in our earlier episode this week when I also said that Cardiff was going to beat Everton. So,
yeah, the thing for me, probably most relevant for this match, I feel like you're probably in the same boat. With Jimenez, like, obviously it was just a one match letdown. But they have Chelsea coming up, Burnley, Manchester United in their next three, and then there's the game week 31 shenanigans to deal with. Would you consider selling him this week?
Absolutely not, because his price has risen far too much and I can't sell him. See, you just got him, so you're in a different scenario. But if you've gotten the price rises, like, you potentially wouldn't be able to get him back.
It's going to be interesting. I'm assuming Wolves will win, but after last week, I don't know.
If Wolves start this game in a front two with Jimenez and Jota, they will lose this game to Cardiff. If they start in a front three, they'll win 3-1.
Well, there you have it. You're going to make that a
very specific prediction.
A very specific prediction of the week. Moving right along, West Ham Newcastle. So, we talked about Newcastle last week as potential players to look at for the run-in. Isaac Hayden is at 27% owned. Sean Longstaff, who I...
You got his name right this time.
Mispronounced last week, is at 6% owned. Newcastle is playing West Ham. Do you like either of these guys this week?
I mean, Hayden, yes. Longstaff, unless you're in a 12-team league where your midfield is screwed, I wouldn't really look at. Because for most of the season, he was putting up Mo Diame points of 6-9. And then he scored his goal last week.
Yeah, and I know I mentioned it last week, not knowing what to think about Isaac Hayden.
Well, we know what to think about Isaac Hayden now.
Yeah, it's funny because up until his run of form, the thing I kind of remembered and associated him with was the red card in the beginning of the season, where I believe he got subbed on and then got sent off. But he has been pretty much excellent lately. He had 12 points last week, so now without a return. So, yeah, I mean, I guess he looks like someone to invest in if you have not already grabbed him.
So, one thing that I would love to ask you, in your watchability rankings right now, how much has Newcastle climbed in the past couple weeks?
Well, the thing that makes them watchable outside of the fact that I was excited about Almiron is that now that they have a creative player in that team, it's almost like the opposition doesn't know what to do.
Well, would you know what to do when literally anyone, including the center backs, can shoot on you and score from outside the box?
Yeah, it almost seems like someone's just playing FIFA with Newcastle.
Like, the Matt Ritchie left-back experience is working.
Yeah, and then you had Javier Manquillo get the start. Manquillo get the start, and he got an assist last week. He put up 20 points.
And I started Lejeune in a draft league as well. Like, if someone's lining up in a Newcastle lineup, they've now become streamable.
Yeah, so they're going to West Ham. And West Ham are coming off. I thought they played well against Manchester City. On another day, they probably would have came away with a point. Do you think the Newcastle train is going to keep rolling here?
It's definitely going to be a lot harder. I will say that. I don't know if the defensive train will keep rolling, even though I did pick a Newcastle 2-0 win here. But I do believe that Newcastle will score some goals on West Ham.
That game is on the Premier League predictor. So what's your take?
I just said it.
You said they'll score some goals.
No, I said I predicted a 2-0 win.
Oh, 2-0 win. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw.
I picked 2-0 for Newcastle last week and was 100% correct. So I'm just going to go with that prediction again and see what happens. Even though this feels like a Lanzini start week.
Yeah, I am very happy that he's playing again because I love watching him play. He got 14 minutes off the bench against Fulham. He got 45 against Manchester City. Could potentially be a start week. I just love watching Lanzini play. So, look, if he's in the starting 11, obviously you want to start him. He's only owned in 43% of leagues in Fantrax. So I would definitely scoop him if he's still available, especially if you play in a deeper league.
Yeah, I mean, I think even down to an 8-team league, if he starts on the weekend, he should be starting in your lineup.
Yeah, another guy who's readily available, he's definitely not as an attractive name, Jeffrey Schlapp. I
love your pronunciations, by the way.
I'm surprised that he's only owned in 24% of leagues.
Same. I was actually shocked by that number. I don't really know how, because he has been on quite the run of form.
So his last four matches, he has 26 points, 7 points, 23, and 20.
If you have your goals against defenders not turned on, if they're playing out of position.
Correct. That's correct. Yeah, so Crystal Palace traveled to Burnley, who came back down to earth. There was no Ashley Barnes goal last week. Mishy Batshuayi looked really good.
I mean, the Crystal Palace attack is ticking. You have MacArthur's useful. Schlupp's useful. Zaha and Townsend are useful. Batshuayi is useful. That's more Palace players than I could think about owning for what, like the last 3.5-4 years?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously I would not put him up there, but we probably should mention, you know, Joel Ward had a goal this week, but he, you know, he also had 7.
I don't want points against Leicester. I don't want a Palace defender without Mamadou Sakho in the team.
Yeah, I mean, without his goal, he probably would have had another game in the region of 7 points. But yeah, it's just worth noting that, I mean, there are options there. Do you think Burnley will rebound? Or was the Burnley we saw at midweek the Burnley we should expect to see?
Well, Burnley's not a very deep team. So when it comes around to stuff like this on short rest, they get killed. And that's what we saw. I do believe that Burnley will bounce back, hopefully with a little rotation. But I don't think they're going to win this game. But I also don't think they're going to lose it, because I think it's going to be a 2-2 draw.
Yeah, that's not on the predictor this week. But yeah, I would also agree this is probably going to be a draw somewhere in there. A match I can almost guarantee will not be a draw, Manchester United hosting Southampton.
Oh, why wouldn't it be a draw? Just because it's United?
Yeah. First things first, where do you stand on Lukaku after his finally playing like the Lukaku I know and love against Crystal Palace?
I mean, I've given Lukaku nothing but glowing reviews when he has started games, and from his performance on the weekend, it's another one. If Lukaku starts, he should be in all of your teams, and it doesn't matter the format.
Yeah, would you consider moving for him in OFPL right now?
No, just due to the fact that when Rashford comes back, I don't think they're going to play the diamond unless it's against top teams, because there's so many options and transfers are at such a scarcity.
Yeah, it's something trying to put my Manchester United fandom aside. Look, I mean, Lukaku is at 10.7 right now. The thing that is appealing for him is that he's only owned by roughly 4% of teams. So, I mean, it is a nice differential. The problem is, like you said, you know, I would be fine with rolling with him and Rashford, but I just don't think that...
Yeah, that doesn't make sense at all.
It's not enough of a guarantee. Yeah, it's not enough of a guarantee. And looking down the line right now, I mean, Manchester United has a good end of the season with Huddersfield and Cardiff City, but after Southampton, they don't have exactly the friendliest run.
Yeah, because Manchester United basically decides the entire top six.
Yeah, Arsenal in game week 30. Then there is Manchester City, the Derby at home in 35, Chelsea in 36. The other guy before, this is one of the pick-ems, so we will do that, but my weekly JWP shout-out came through last week. Unfortunately, against Manchester United, I will not be backing him for anything.
That's probably pretty fair. Play David De Gea has been great as a set-it-and-forget-it goalkeeper in FPL.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 3-0 Manchester United.
I did go with 3-1 because United still finds a way to give up a goal that they shouldn't give up.
Yeah, I could definitely see them conceding. Hopefully they won't.
It's going to be like Nathan Redmond's going to find some space in the box and score.
Yeah. He'll shoot it off. He'll ricochet off of Lindelof and go in.
And then John Wallen's fantasy team will actually get another green arrow.
The last match we're going to talk about before we wrap up this week's episode, Spurs versus Arsenal. The last match we're going to talk about on this episode of FPL 360 is Spurs hosting Arsenal. So, Chuck, are you excited? Are you confident going in this match after the team failed to get a shot on target against Chelsea?
Are these two words that I'm actually allowed to use in discussing Spurs right now? Because I've tried to act like this past week hasn't actually happened.
Yeah, and you're running into the buzzsaw that is Henrik Mkhitaryan, who has 2 goals and 3 assists in his last 2 starts.
At this point, look at Spurs' back line and tell me who's going to stop Mkhitaryan.
That's my
exactly.
answer.
Crickets. That's who.
Yeah. Mesut Ozil is also coming off a goal.
I don't care about Ozil because he's just as prone to get a little sick before the game and miss the whole thing.
So I think it's very interesting that ever since we talked about, I wonder if Mkhitaryan listens to the podcast, because it seems like since we talked about him 2 weeks ago, he's decided to remember how to play football.
Hopefully he listens to it and feels a little bit of shame for not performing as being my first round pick when I backed him so heavily before the season.
This match is not in the pick'ems this week. However, I do want to know what you think the scoreline will be.
Three-1 Arsenal.
Oh, wow. Really? You really are just giving up on Spurs' title chase at this point?
The title chase was gone at Burnley.
Yeah, no, it was. I think Arsenal will also win, but I think it's going to be 2-1.
I mean, look, Harry Kane loves playing Arsenal, but Heung-min's son is worse with Harry Kane in the team. The Spurs defense just doesn't know what they're doing on a week-to-week basis. The midfield, unless Dele Alli miraculously starts this game, which in reality I'd rather have him for leg 2 against Dortmund than this game, we don't really have a midfield that can stop anyone on Arsenal. And you'll probably have both Lacazette and Aubameyang back up top with Mkhitaryan out wide, and that's just going to be unstoppable for us.
Yeah, I think that was well said. That's pretty much the thing that I'm kind of settle on is the way, as you said, the shape of the defense right now against Lacazette and Aubameyang is not something you would be looking forward to.
Yeah,
as
like,
a supporter.
Even though it hurt me so much to cheer for Aubameyang's free kick last week.
Look, I mean, there is a chance. There is a chance that Arsenal pulls an Arsenal.
I mean, the only way that Spurs get a victory in this game is a Harry Kane hat trick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much banking on Kane scoring.
Oh, Kane's going to score. Kane loves playing Arsenal.
Yeah, the problem is that he's going to have to put the team on his back in order to get a result.
Yeah, he's going to put the team on his back and break his ankle.
I think that's a good ending place for this week's episode. Any closing thoughts? I mean, it seems like you got most off your chest with the Arsenal Spurs breakdown.
Well, I mean, we've been like slightly avoiding talking about Spurs during these past couple of episodes, kind of the way that we avoided talking about United earlier in the year. But
for the entire first half of the season.
But I had to let out a lot of frustration on that. And while it pains me, the good thing is the fact that even if Spurs implode in this game, odds are they still finish in top 4. And they should still move on to the next round of Champions League.
Yeah. I am expecting them to advance there, and just the interesting thing for them is just when you're so Kane dependent. And it's funny how much I've noticed the absence of Dele Alli.
Well, it's weird though, because they were Kane dependent until this year when Heung-Min Son played at a supernova level. But realistically, the absence of Dele with everyone back has been hard.
Yeah, I mean, once he's back, that's going to be a major boost. But as you said, I think it's more important to have him for the Champions League than it is for this match. Remember, everybody, follow us on Twitter at FPL_360. And I think we're everywhere on podcasts now, right, Chuck?
Just about. We're on iTunes, where you should remember to subscribe and rate to the podcast. Really should subscribe to the podcast everywhere, but iTunes has their little rating system. Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Right, and we will be back sometime next week with a look at Game Week 30.